Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. And I'll bet it can be hard work. You know what's easy? Bundling policies with GEICO. GEICO makes it easy to bundle your homeowner's or renter's insurance along with your auto policy. It's a good thing, too, because you already have so much to do around your home. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. It's GEICO easy. Visit GEICO.com today. That's GEICO.com.
Anthony Bellino, he hosts X's and Bros weekday mornings at 6 a.m. on the Michigan Sports Network. Show also is heard on some of these huge radio network affiliates, including 106.1 FM and AM 1340, The Ticket in Grand Rapids. They talk Michigan teams first, and I heard them talking about the draft this morning when I was taking my kids to school. How you doing, AB?
Huge. I'm doing fantastic. How are you, my friend?
Doing good. Did you like Sewell? I thought it was a pick that fell into their lap, and there's no way. There was no one there. Even when I look past, I don't put Fields in that category, and we'll get to him in a moment. But there was nobody they missed on by taking Sewell, in my mind.
Yeah, I really like the pick of Penei Sewell, because I think what it does is it gives the Detroit Lions one of the youngest core groups of a really strong offensive line. Now, the offensive line was a unit. When you look at this team, because defensively they were just an absolute disaster last year. When you look at their offensive line unit as a whole, from the left side to the right side, they were already probably the strongest unit on the team. Adding Penei Sewell, a guy who, you know, Oregon's head coach had nothing but positive things to say as far as him being a quick learner. So I think he starts off on the right side at right tackle. You look at Jonah Jackson, who they got in the third round last year. The value of that pick was fantastic. Frank Ragnow, they re-up and grab his fifth-year option. They're going to end up extending him because he could be an all-time great Lion at the center position. You already have Taylor Decker on the left side. So it gives you the most stable unit on the team, and I think it did nothing but strengthen them. So when you look at the Lions at seven, the fact that the Cincinnati Bengals didn't try to take Sewell and tried to protect Joe Burrow, who they lost, he's recovering from a knee injury because they couldn't keep him upright. They decided to go outside with Ja'Marr Chase and get a wide receiver at that point. I thought that was a huge miss, and when that happened, Sewell's on the board. There wasn't any way the Lions were going to move. If Sewell would have went to the Bengals, then I think maybe the Lions entertained some trade talk and moved back. I would have liked to have seen that if it were to happen that way. But the way that it went down, adding Sewell at number seven, I think is a fantastic pick. It only strengthens the offensive line, because what we saw with Jared Goff, when they had Todd Gurley and they could run the football effectively, Jared Goff was a lot better. You know, he's a pure pocket passer, so they have to find a way to keep the pocket clean and to be able to keep him upright, and they definitely they add the insurance of the possibility of that and strengthening a run game, something that they really have never had since Barry left, and it gives them the option to run the football with this offensive line and protect the most valuable asset on the team, which is the quarterback.
So the second part of the question, you just answered Sewell that I'm asking. What do you think should be the first position they target tonight?
Okay, so this is the dicey one, right? And it all depends on who's on the board. But if you look at a guy out of Notre Dame, Jeremiah Owusu-Koramoah is how you say it. If he's available, I think you jump on him immediately, and I think that at some point you're going to have to attack this defense that was the worst defense the Lions have ever had, and that's crazy to think about when you think about how porous the defense has been over the franchise's history. But last year, I mean, you can't surrender 32 points a game and expect to win football games. You can't give up 420 yards of offense per game and expect to win football games. It just doesn't happen. So if you take a look at the template that Tampa Bay had against Kansas City in order to beat them in the Super Bowl, what did they have? They had a pass rush on the front four with the defensive line that was, you know, it was helped by Kansas City not having two of their prominent offensive linemen in that game. But they also had linebackers that covered and ran sideline to sideline. And I think if you look at that model and you look at it from the Kansas City perspective, they couldn't keep Patrick Mahomes upright. It affected them. So the Lions address offensive line. So look at it like that. Okay, you have someone to help protect Jared Goff. Now it's time to address this defense. They have to develop a pass rush at some point. Romeo Okwara was great. Maybe Trey Flowers can, you know, step up his role. Pennacini, he showed us some good things last year. But if you can find a linebacker like Owusu-Koramoah, if he is there, I think you jump all over it. Maybe Trayvon Morig out of TCU at the safety position. Maybe they want to go there. Azeez Ojulari, there would be another one out of Georgia. I think that he's a quality player that they could have some success with. So it depends on who is still at the board, but I think you have to go defense in round two, because I think you'll find great value at the wide receiver position, because you know that Jared Goff's going to have somebody to throw the football. football too, right? And I love Quintez Cephas, but I mean, come on, he's a youngster. He's going into his second season, and outside of week one last year, wasn't really all that productive. So they're going to have to find a way to replace the production of Kenny Golladay, who, remember, they got in the third round, and Marvin Jones Jr., and Danny Amendola. So they're going to find a pass catcher. I think they address that in round three, but I think you look at the defense, you look at linebacker, you look at safety here in round two tonight.
Yeah, unless there's a big run on all those defensive studs you just mentioned that all go, you know, 7-8 picks in front of the Lions tonight to begin that second round, then I agree with you. You take that the best defensive player available, but if they're all gone, all the names you just mentioned, then you got to look at a stud receiver and think linebacker, edge rusher there in the third.
Yeah, and I think that if it does go that route and you could find a player, like I'm going to throw him out there because he played locally, but a guy like Cam McGrone, who you might be able to find later on in the fourth round or maybe even into the fifth, I think that he's a guy that's going to come in with a little bit of attitude, a little bit of edge. But, you know, if you're going to go wide receiver because there is the run on defensive players here early in round number two, I think that you can find some pretty good value out of an Elijah Moore out of Ole Miss or Rondale Moore out of Purdue. Dwayne Eskridge is a guy that a lot of people are very high on out of Western Michigan. Shout out to Kalamazoo and our listeners out in that area. And then, of course, another Michigan man, Nico Collins. Nico Collins is one of those guys that I think we look back on, much like we did with Donovan Peoples-Jones, much like we've done with Jabril Peppers, and hell, huge, to be honest with you, much like we do with a lot of Michigan players, is how come they are so successful and so productive at the NFL level, but we couldn't get that production out of them at the college level. It was Nico Collins, is his problem separation like Kenny Galladay's was, or was his problem inconsistent quarterback play that couldn't, you know, work the football around enough to be able, or was it a scheme issue at Michigan? That we don't know either. So I think that you'll find great value in wide receiver, and if there is a run on those linebackers, like you mentioned, you can definitely address it with a lot of talent in this wide receiver class.
Anthony Bellino, you host X's and Bros with Dan and Ryan and the crew, weekday morning, 6 a.m. until 9 a.m. on the Michigan Sports Network, heard on some of these huge radio network affiliates, and also heard weekday mornings in West Michigan at 6 a.m. on 106.1 FM and AM 1340, the Ticket, our flagship stations. I had Tim Twentyman on earlier this hour, and I have to tell you something, Anthony. I know you host some of the online and Jumbotron shows inside Ford Field with the Lions. You've been around them a long time. I've never seen everybody on the same page on and off the field, like especially off the field because we haven't seen any games with Campbell as a head coach. But they're just saying, doing, and picking the right people time and time again. I've never seen that with the Lions front office and coaching staff. Never.
Yeah, it's a complete change, and it's something that, you know, people have, you know, I've had a lot of conversations with a lot of different people. Dan in the studio, who I work with every morning, is very suspect. And I said, look, yeah, we had blind faith with Quinn and Patricia because we were just assuming they were going to bring that Patriot way. But now we have a guy who is proven as a lead scout, who the LA Rams had nothing but positive things to say about Brad Holmes. They were happy for him to be able to get that opportunity. Bob Quinn, he was on his way out in New England. They said, yeah, sure, have fun. You know, so when you look at a guy like Dan Campbell, sure, he's a rah-rah kind of guy, but I think what's most important about him is the way that he is addressing. He talked about putting the cornhole boards back into the office because, you know, it's just something to take the stress out. Well, Matt Patricia, hey, he had the cornhole boards and the ping pong tables removed. I think the way that Dan Campbell looks at treating players like these are people too, not just players, and developing long-standing relationships, I think that goes a long way in the locker room. Then you look at the addition of John Dorsey. I mean, how much more could you really ask for in a front office when you look at what Dorsey did with the Chiefs, you look what he did with the Cleveland Browns? These guys can identify talent. They want to build a roster. And if John Dorsey is responsible for putting together a Chiefs team that won a Super Bowl, making the Cleveland Browns a contender and a perennial playoff player, and he rebuilds the Lions, like, John Dorsey's immediately going to the Hall of Fame. Like, you'd send him there in a rocket ship. Like, this is a good core group of football guys. Think about Chris Spielman in that front office as well. Look at Dan Campbell's assistant staff. These are football guys that are commanding this room, and I love it. I think a lot of people are really concerned about Rod Wood and Sheila Ford Hamm. What they had to do was find the right people to make the right decisions on football personnel. And that's what they have done. I think they're finding a lot of success in that so far.
Amen. Anthony, enjoy your weekend. We'll talk soon.
Sounds good, Hughes. Thanks for having me. I appreciate you.